It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, and we're at the 7th verse, and we're going to start reading there today. And so Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, so please open your Bibles to that scripture verse, if you would, please. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. You're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, that'll be at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and be ready for the study today. And again, we're going to read from Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, beginning with the 7th verse, Revelation 19, 7. So please follow along. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith to me, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou not do it, and thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Please that you go with me now to prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come together and enjoy this study. Please that you would just guide and lead us each and every day. It's so wonderful to be able to walk with you and fellowship with you. I just ask that you will guide and lead us each day, dear Lord, please. I thank you for this word that you've given us. I praise you for the book of Revelation. It is so wonderful to study as every word from Genesis to the end of Revelation. Please that you'll guide and lead us. Those that do not know you as their Savior, today would be a day that they would come and say, Yes, I want to come and be a believer in Jesus Christ. And please, Lord, save me. And the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died 2,000 years ago, paid that debt of sin for you. But until you believe that He is the Messiah, He is the Savior, He died on the cross and shed His blood for you. Till you believe that, salvation's not yours. He died for every individual of all the world, but it's not put to your account or applied to your account until you come by faith and trust Him. So please today you do that. Trust Him today. Call upon Him and begin that wonderful day of service in the light and in the wisdom of God. It's a wonderful walk, and I hope that you become a part of it. Now please, just Father, guide and lead us all. Show us your word, show us your truths, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the verse of Scripture here, it says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Let's look at Hebrews. Now, some of these verses of Scripture we read last time we were together, I want to read them again, and we're going to fellowship over them because it is worthy of covering it a time. If you've been with us very much, you'll realize that I do believe in review, that we can enjoy it and look at these things. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, we find, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Now, as we look at those verses of Scripture, I want to start with a statement as we had before. The bride is not Israel. The bride is not Israel. Old Testament Israel is an adulterous wife of Jehovah, and she will be restored, but she'll be never, never will she be called the virgin nor the bride. Now, I have some verses of Scripture, and again, it's several verses, but I think it's worth our time, and I hope that you can look with me, because I want you to see that Israel is not the church, Israel is not the bride, and many people are confused with that, and I want you to look with me to Isaiah, book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 54, and we're reading 10 verses, which is quite a little, but please just follow along. We have read these last time we were together, but please that you listen carefully as we read them a second time. Hopefully you can follow along. Isaiah 54, 1, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that dost not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee." Let's go to Hosea 2. Now we're going to read 17 verses there. You see, they were, as the Scripture calls them, the adulteress was the wife of Jehovah. Set her aside. Okay, now listen here as we read Hosea chapter 2 all the way down through verse 17. "Say ye unto the brethren, and to your brethren, Am I, and that means my people, to your sisters, Ruma, which means having obtained pity. So my people and having obtained pity. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and sit her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall, that she shall not find her pass. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lover has given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her unto the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for the door of hope. Now that valley of Achor is a valley of trouble for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ashai, and shalt call me no more Balaam. And Ashai means my husband. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. You see, that's what happened, and that's happens today. People today do the same thing. They worship the land, and they worship trees, and they worship nature. They praise nature. They lift them up as gods. They lift dogs and cats and all kinds of animals up as gods. They lift themselves up as gods, and they do not recognize that the God that created all of them, Jehovah, demands, and rightly so, that he be praised, that he be thanked for all those things. Instead of that, they gave the praise to Balaam, to others. Paul found an idol amongst all the idols, but it wasn't named. It was named the unknown God because, you see, they worshiped so many gods. There is one God, one Jehovah. There is one Bible. There's one precious words that we have in our hands. And please, don't be adding to it. Don't be taking it away. Forget all these new versions that are coming out. Get back to the old King James and enjoy it. You'll find salvation there. You'll find life there. You'll find victory there. So please, look to the Word of God. Look to no other gods besides the true God. In what we have read, and I want to go now to the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We find that today everybody's looking for so many different directions and to work so hard and do so many things that they can be saved. No, it's the simplicity of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe. Just believe, and you will have victory. The Holy Spirit will come to live within you. What a great day. Notice it is not the marriage of the bride, but the marriage of the Lamb. It is His great joy, and we need to remember that God saves us for the sake of His only begotten Son, in whom He is well pleased. No details are given of this marriage. We do know that Ephesians 5:32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." We know that it takes place right before the Lord's return to earth in power to reign for His 1,000-year, for the millennium. The Scripture clearly teaches that the bride is not Israel, nor a remnant of Israel, but is the Gentile bride called out from all races, from all people. That is the church today. The church, the bride, the whosoever will. That's who we're talking about here. All saints, all born-again believers, all born-again people, all blood-washed people. Between the time of Acts chapter 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 17, chapter 4, verse 17. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. So you can see this time period. Acts chapter 2. The second chapter of Acts. We begin with verse 1, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to just begin it here so you can get a taste, and I want you to read it in its completeness so you don't think I'm pulling something out of context here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, not in gibberish like we have today. And this is gone. We don't have this anymore. Only the apostles had this opportunity. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation, unto heaven. It was Pentecost under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Will you understand that if you're mixed up in the tongues? It's not of today. It's not even of then, according to the way you do it. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it begins naming them, and it was wonderful to hear the Word of God. And you know what they were telling, what they were speaking? They were presenting the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. There was multitudes in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and God chose that day to birth the church. And so that's the beginning of this group we're talking about here. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians, The five T's, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture of the church. So we went from the birth of the church to the rapture of the church. That's the group. Saints between Pentecost and the rapture. Now, please read those sections of Scripture again. 1 Thessalonians 4. You can back up, read the whole chapter of chapter 4 if you'd like. But it'll really be a blessing to you. And then also back in Acts chapter 2, read that chapter. Now, we find that the 24 elders, they represent the redeemed church. Revelation 4 and Revelation 19:4. Now, let's go back to Revelation 19:4, and you'll find that it speaks of these 24 elders. 19:4. And 4 and 20 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And these 24 elders, again referred to back in Revelation chapter 4, speaks of the church. And so we have a very special blessing and a promise that no other dispensation has. The saints, this dispensation, the time of grace, are all baptized into one body. And it's not talking about a physical baptism. It's talking about a spiritual baptism. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. All baptized into one body by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so out of these seven dispensations, the last four, the promise given to Abraham, to the law, we have from Abraham to the law of Moses. And so number 5 is the law. It was Sinai and Calvary. In our chapter, the word elders disappears, and we see all taking their place in relationship to the Lamb of God. Grace, death, and resurrection of Christ, the rapture, you see? And so this fifth one here, the fifth dispensation, the went from Sinai, the law, to Calvary, and it ended there. And then we look at the time of grace. That's number 6. And that goes from the death of the Lord Jesus through his resurrection all the way to the rapture of the church. That's the 6th one, and that's called grace. And so law was what we really are the most familiar with. The promise is from Abraham all the way to Moses, to where he got the law, and that would be the 4th one. But then the 5th one is the law itself from Sinai to Calvary. And then the 6th is this day of grace, which so far has lasted over 2,000 years, and it is the death, burial, resurrection of Christ is the beginning of it, and then to the rapture. And we just read back in Acts where the church was birthed, and that was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. And then the last will be the kingdom, and it starts with the tribulation, goes through the millennial reign of Christ. And so that is the seven dispensations. Now, to the church, Christ is the head and the foundation. You know, the members of his body are we. Jesus loved the church so much that he laid down his life. His life for the church. His life for the church. He gave everything. He purchased it with his own blood. The church on earth has weathered many storms. We long for her bridegroom to appear in the clouds and call us up to meet him in the air. And that is what we talked about in 1 Thessalonians a while ago. And so please, that was 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That day, waiting for that call to come, that trump to sound, what a wonderful day that will be. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife hath made herself ready. There's two steps. The first, God in his grace makes the bride ready for heaven. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word meet means to make able. And so that's the first step. Now the second step, all believers must make themselves ready. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now he saves us, and he keeps us. But my dear friend, what he does is he also allows us to have blessings, to lay up treasures in heaven all the time while we're living, all the time after we're saved, from the time we're born again until the day he takes us home. We have an opportunity of laying down treasures. Now, it's not as many do with gold and silver here. Now, the scripture is very clear that, are you laying up gold and silver and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble? Now, that example there is concerning our works. Are we doing everything for our own use and our own glory? Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. But precious stones and gold and silver is purified through the fire. It's made better. And so we need to see that we are serving him and praising him, because when we do service for him and lay these treasures up, we're going to be able to take those treasures when we get home and lay them at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that'll be. And if you do nothing for him, you'll have nothing to give, and that will be a sad day for you, a sad day. This preparation, a period of preparing at the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer will be rewarded according to the record of their works, just what we were talking about. There are many carnal Christians who live worldly lives who will have to pass through the fires of that judgment seat before they are ready to return with Christ to the earth. And this is what it's talking about here, the coming. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon was called Faithful and True, and Righteous he doth make war. And his eyes, it prepares us, we are going to come with him. And so as we see this this return in verse 11, we will be with him, but we have to be prepared to do that. I hope you know the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do about him?